there's a lot of people I've heard that are like, well, this doesn't matter to us. Like, what's the big deal? From a health perspective, it is a big deal because everything about this is new.
Mm-hmm.
And let's be quite frank. We as human beings, especially nowadays, we do not like anything that we do not know how to control. That means human nature, but particularly when it comes to illnesses and things like that, it's one of the reasons I'm like the most terrified for like bioweapons and things, because that's the scariest stuff out there. And that's where you get real human panic, is the stuff they can't see and what they don't understand. The reason it's in the news is because it is news. But what does it mean for you? Probably our listeners, most of you in the United States, is this something you need to worry about? Well, there's a few easy ways to check.
You're listening to the Addicted to Fitness podcast, brought to you by Elemental Training Tampa. Now, here's your hosts, Nick and Shannon Birch.
Thanks for checking out this week's episode of the Addicted to Fitness podcast. Welcome back to our avid listeners. And if you are new, welcome. We are first here to say thank you for tuning in, but also thanks for checking out all those awesome places that you can share a podcast. Because as we always say, the sharing is the caring. We love to see it. We love reviews and everything. But really, if you end up passing this along to like at least one person, that's even better, to be honest.
That's right.
So by all means, head to whatever podcast app of choice you prefer and hit the share button on the episode, the podcast, whatever you want. We appreciate it.
Yes, indeed. So this week, we are going to talk about the real fear, or the real, if we should fear this dreaded coronavirus that everybody's talking about or not. Mm-hmm. So we're going to cut, as Shannon put it so well, cut through the headlines.
Yeah.
To see if it's something that we in the United States should really fear or not.
Yeah. And maybe figure out like who really, based off of the data, is at risk. And also, maybe the things that we should be focused on a bit more.
But before we jump into that topic, we're going to let you know about our training recaps for the week. What did you do specifically this week for any training recaps? Did you have anything, any big highlights? I know I woke up this morning and you were doing yoga.
Yeah. I did get on the bike a couple times this week, which felt great.
And what bike are you referring to?
The Peloton bike, if you're getting specific.
Mm-hmm.
I got on my bicycle and I rode around neighborhood. No. I got on the Peloton bike and I did like shorter workouts this week. I did like 30, 20 minute kind of like quick hitting workouts. And then, yeah, this morning, yesterday, I was just wiped out. Like, I could not, most of the afternoon, I could barely move. I don't know if it was, like, physical things or mental things or what, but I have suspicions. But, yeah, I was just down yesterday afternoon. And I really had no energy to do anything. Today, I woke up and not that I was like energetic, but I felt like I was up. I might as well move, especially after a day of not moving. And gosh, I did like 20 minute yoga, I think, before you and Ella woke up and came in. And it was lovely. It was so nice. Like, there's something about early morning yoga that just, it's magical. But, yeah, that's pretty much been my week. I've not done a ton, but I did try to get out and do, like, walks.
Yeah.
But
that's... Yeah, we went for two walks today.
Yeah, I know. Today we definitely, I think the walks, and we walked around Home Depot for a bit. Because we're
true.
Doing some home improvement stuff, and did some cleaning. So yeah, I feel like it was a very domestic sort of workout day today, but yeah. Still counts.
Right. No, I agree. And the weather here has been pretty tremendous. So getting outside and walking has been a pleasure. And we know that's going to be quickly changing here in the subtropical climate of South Florida. So I also was able to do something I'm pretty proud of this week. It was actually the VersaClimber Empire State Challenge. So at Tampa Strength, we've been doing a little kind of like in-house challenge where we were racing up the Empire State Building. And the Empire State Building is 1,454 feet. Ooh. So we tried to see how fast we can do it. And I like to say that I'm proudly in second place right now behind a 15-year-old who did it in almost a minute less than me. So, yes, so 1,454 square feet in 10 minutes and 20 seconds.
That's so crazy. I'm
pretty happy about that.
Yeah.
I'm still focusing on my legs. My shoulders have been, my shoulder in particular has been giving me issues for a while now. So I think it's probably to the point where I may need to start seeing someone in, just to get a little bit more information about it. See, I don't know what they can tell me. I mean, I think it's probably just some sort of inflammation in my shoulder. So besides, you know, ibuprofen and kind of rest it, maybe change up my exercises. There's not too much I think I can do. So, but I'm, I've been still been working out a lot of legs, doing some isolation, upper body exercise, some really, keeping it safe and, trying to minimize any like big movements or kind of sudden or powerful rotational exercise, especially on my shoulder. So, but it's good, you know, still been staying active. And I'm excited. We had a big week here in Tampa. There was a huge race in Tampa this week.
Yeah.
That, I know.
Big health event.
Several years ago that I was participating in, and maybe a couple of years ago where a few members of ETT jumped in and did the race. I remember that was before Ella. We did that.
That was actually, yeah, I was pregnant with her.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. That's right.
Early days.
Yep. So. That's a big event here in Tampa, the Gasparilla Distance Classic. So I know a lot of people were enjoying that this weekend. So, but there are something I have noticed at the gym as of late is the, number of people that have been out sick as of late. So
yeah,
that's
very
kind of, related to our main topic of discussion, the coronavirus. Because many people, including some of our best friends who we were supposed to visit this weekend, have been coming down with the flu. So, you know, being related that the virus, both of them being viruses, we're going to try to see if this coronavirus, especially here in the United States, is as big of a health risk as the media is making it out to be, or maybe people are kind of turning it into. I don't know if media is doing a bad job of...
It's a lot of things.
It's a lot of things? Okay.
Yeah.
So, first of all, I think after looking at some research, it seems that in the United States specifically, there are, according to the New York Times, the most recent New York Times article I looked at, 34 cases of the coronavirus in the United States.
Versus the how many... Worldwide, which is mostly in China.
Yes, in China. I did not see what it was worldwide.
Boop. It was over 70,000 as of last Friday.
It says, this was from 4 days ago. Coronavirus led to more than 75,000 illnesses and 2,000 deaths. Primarily in mainland China. What's that?
I legit know this because I've had to pitch this at work. This has been a topic I've had to become intimately like fluent in.
Mm-hmm. And so this is in China. Those numbers were from China. And in the United States, I already mentioned 34. And all of them were travel. They had acquired the disease in China. The virus in China.
Yeah.
So far, like I said, according to that New York Times, which was published 2 days ago, which is today is what, the 23rd, 24th? 28th, sorry.
No, it's not. It's like the 23rd.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
I'm jumping ahead.
You're like
weeks.
A week ahead.
Jeez. Sorry, guys. But, so the...
And then, like, to put, like, a time frame around it, the reason that people are very I think, nervous about it is because this has been like over pretty much like a 3 month period, right?
The coronavirus?
Yeah. Like maybe two since it like really broke out strong, I think. Actually, it's two.
Yeah. I think like you mentioned, it has
early
been
January.
2 weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So 2 months, it's been out, over 75,000 cases. And I think deaths was in the like 20,000.
Yeah, it says
range.
According to this article I looked at, I'm looking at livescience.com from 4 days ago, 2,000 deaths. Excuse me.
2,000 deaths.
In China. Yes.
Okay, 2,000, yeah.
Primarily in mainland China.
But now let's look at the numbers that, like, granted, a lot of American media has been covering this. China, huge thing. I mean, the entire world has taken notice of this, right, for sure, because everybody has relationships with China.
Yeah, and now South Korea and Italy are finding cases and, you know, having some travel restrictions now. And we had the big case about the cruise ship.
Yeah, that was a big one.
I can't remember what it was called, but it was docked in Japan, correct? Mm-hmm. And they were quarantined. A lot of Americans were on it, too. They mm-hmm. weren't allowed to come back to the United States.
Yeah.
Weren't allowed off the ship, period.
Yeah, they were quarantined on the ship for, like, 2 weeks or something crazy.
Right.
But, yeah, so the information that I feel like, especially here in the United States, that has been largely left out of this is the context in relation to, you know, if you're not traveling to China, what this actually means for you.
Right.
So, I mean, granted, like, the World Health Organization came out and said, we really don't recommend, basically, you travel to China right now. And then our president of the United States, who I will not name, because I don't want to even go there with anybody, pro or con, but
he is the president. You can say his name. That's beside the point.
I feel like you put something on. I don't know. Our president said nobody travel, like big travel restrictions to China. People that are coming from China, you're not coming in.
Quarantine,
kind of situation. Right. Makes sense, right? Like pretty basic. The core group of this that are being impacted are people from that area.
Yeah.
So it is a highly contagious disease, but they don't actually, I haven't found any research that says, I don't know if you came across anything that talks about like the incubation period and all that kind of stuff. Like, yeah. I don't know if they've come up with that.
They
yet.
Had some information about like the transmission rate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they talk about one person averages about infecting 2.2 people. Which is pretty high because...
More than double, yeah.
Yeah, which is with the flu, which is something we might talk about in a little bit, but it's about only 1-to-1. So yeah. One person generally infects one person, where it's double for the corona.
And if anybody's curious, coronavirus, or what do they call it now?
The whole name?
No, it's like there's like a 5-digit like code for it now.
COVID-19.
COVID-19, yeah. This is a respiratory specific. So this is not like the stomach flu, or this isn't like, what was that horrible one that we got? The stomach one?
Norovirus.
Freaking thing. My gosh. It's a respiratory, so it attacks your respiratory system specifically. So how it's passed, does it talk about that?
How it is passed.
Is it like airborne kind of situation? Is that why it's so contagious? Or is it by touch? Because I know like flu, I think like our flu is contact, I think. Isn't it? Most of the flus.
Yeah.
It's more of like contact like with
the virus.
Yeah, versus
I don't know
like,
if it's airborne.
I don't know if I've found any information about how it actually transmits or whatever. Like that. COVID-19 was so new that really nobody knew anything about it or how to like prevent it, how it passed. So that's why it was scary for people, and because it's basically an exponential, when you're talking about a two infections for every one person, yeah, that's an exponential growth.
Says, in general, the CDC recommends the following to prevent the spread of respiratory viruses, which include both coronavirus and flu viruses. Wash your hands, soap and water, avoid touching your eyes, nose and mouth with unwashed hands, avoid close contact with people who are sick, stay home when you're sick, and clean and disinfect frequently touched objects and surfaces.
Yeah, and can we just talk about anybody who had stock in those little masks? They legit, people cannot buy them. Like, you can't buy them.
I know.
Anywhere.
People are like, all about those.
Like, if you have stock in those things right now, dear goodness. Anyways, that's a side note. But there's a lot of elements of this that are scary. Right. I mean, it's any kind of new and highly, like, this would be termed as a highly infectious virus.
Yeah.
And with so little information about how it was transmitted and the incubation period and all of that stuff, all the science we're hearing is legit new. It's that is news. So, I mean, you're hearing about this a lot because this is new, not just because it's, you know, something that a lot of people are catching and, you know, there are people who are dying from this. People at the highest risk are the same people at the highest risk of, like, the flu here in the United States or any kind of, you know, really bad respiratory infection. So, I mean, like, you talk about getting pneumonia or something. I feel like, from my understanding, it's sort of similar. The people who are really at risk, it's people with pre-existing conditions, older and younger.
You're right. It says older adults have been hit hardest by coronavirus in China. The death rate soars to about 14%, almost 15% of those 80 or older.
Yeah.
And then it goes down slightly every 10 years, but it's still pretty high, significantly high. It's half of a percent for anybody under 49, and between the ages of 49 and 10, it's under half a percent. Nobody 9 and under has died from the coronavirus as of to date.
Yeah. So, I mean, it is something, like, there's a lot of people I've heard that are like, well, this doesn't matter to us. Like, what's the big deal? From a health perspective, it is a big deal because everything about this is new.
Mm-hmm.
And let's be quite frank. We as human beings, especially nowadays, we do not like anything that we do not know how to control. That means human nature, but particularly when it comes to illnesses and things like that, one of the reasons I'm, like, the most terrified for, like, bioweapons and things, because that's the scariest stuff out there, and that's where you get real human panic, is the just the stuff they can't see and what they don't understand. So the reason it's in the news is because it is news. But what does it mean for you, probably our listeners, most of you in the United States? Is this something you need to worry about? Well, there's a few easy ways to check. First of all, are you on the older side? If you answer yes, then listen further. If you are traveling to China, maybe delay your plans a little bit. If you are not older and you are not traveling to China, don't really worry too much about this right now, unless you have someone in your household who is just returning from China. If they're planning to go to China, tell them, I'm not going to be your friend anymore if you go. Just kidding. It's just about basic kind of precautions, I think, when it comes to here in America. You know, if you know people who travel internationally a lot, and you are planning to hang out with them, and you understand that they've come back from a trip in Asia sometime recently, maybe just say, hey, where was that again? Before you make your drink date or whatever with them. But in all honesty, here in the U.S., we have much bigger threats from the infectious viruses that we already are aware of.
Yeah, and I mean, seasonal influenza.
Look at the flu.
Yeah.
The flu is kicking people's butts this year, man.
It's especially crazy because I was reading an article is that it's apparently one of the rare double-barreled flu seasons.
Of course it is.
Where one strain came out in the early part of the season, and now a new strain is coming out in the late part of the season.
I mean, and this is... do other areas, other people, like other areas of the world, get flus, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think we're seeing it now.
But it's not this flu, is it? I mean, this is in the United States. It's doing this, or is it everywhere?
I don't know if seasonal flu is. I'm assuming it's the same everywhere, but I don't know. I know it varies by location.
Yeah.
Definitely strains of flu vary by location.
One of the, within the first couple of weeks, because my job is communications, this was taking over headlines as we were trying to find news for our clients. So, of course, the heads of our crisis team put some information together about this. And this is where it pays to look into the data before you get freaked out, before everybody says, well, I can't go buy anything from China now. Like, seriously? Don't worry about that. That's not a concern you have to worry about right now. It's more of the fact that people get really scared because the news loves clickbait. It's their job to get your views. It's not necessarily their job to give you all the details that you need in order to understand the reality of the situation. Reality of our situation here in America, thank gosh, is that this is not a huge threat to us. Unless you are a multinational corporation with business in China, probably not high on your list. If you work for Apple, and especially if you deal with manufacturing and supply chains, this is probably making your life crap. But, again, probably not most people. The flu, that bugger is getting everybody. I mean, it's like last man standing around here. I feel like, I mean, everybody I've talked to on the phone that have kids in school, they're like, I'm terrified to bring my kid to school. I see like people coming in sick and I want to tell them to go home. And yeah, it's legit like that. We've gotten several notices of people in our daughter's class that have gotten this. We all went through the flu last year. Ella got it. Nick got it. I got it. Pretty positive we all got it. And it was terrible. It was terrifying. It was like our first, it was our first flu, but I still think norovirus was worse.
Yes.
That thing is evil incarnate. But these are the things we have to look at. It's the hundreds of thousands of people in the United States that have died from the flu.
Hundreds?
This year. Isn't it like...
I wish it was hundreds. According to the CDC, they have estimates between 16,000 and 41,000.
I thought it was like 100,000 people or something like that.
No, it says in the U.S. alone, the flu was... I thought you meant 100. I didn't know you meant 100,000. Sorry. In the U.S. alone, the flu has already caused an estimated 26 million illnesses, 250,000 hospitalizations, and 14,000 deaths this season. And I saw on the, and this is the low range because on, if you look on the CDC site, they have a range of 14 to 61,000 on there for deaths. And like Shannon kind of alluded to earlier, usually respiratory complications are the cause, like a pneumonia.
Yeah, might it's be turning the death, into something
but,
else.
And, you know, the people, it's hard to guesstimate if that was due to the flu or not. So they kind of have a range or a trouble of giving a definitive number.
Yeah. So, I mean, thinking about the 2,000 plus that coronavirus was or is.
Yeah.
And the 16,000 plus that are associated with the flu.
Mm-hmm.
I think we can all say, continue to freak out about the flu.
Yeah.
Like, still worry about that, because that is really the biggest thing you have to worry in terms of infectious flus flying around here, viruses rather. That's still scary. Yeah. That, I mean, that's kicking coronavirus's butt.
I had a person who trains at our gym is an emergency room doctor, and he mentioned probably about a month ago that he had two kids that came in, I think 11 and 13, that died, end up dying because of complications because of the flu.
Oh my God, that's so scary.
So it's, as you mentioned, that was probably very rare case, but I know we talked about last year, the number of people, younger people dying from flu has gone up a lot recently.
Yeah.
And it's interesting, this is another topic for another day, but we have talked about this before, but CDC just released that the flu vaccine is 45% effective this year.
Now, for the first strain, I thought it wasn't effective at all. Like, it was real low.
This was a recent article. Like I said, when I was looking for articles like this, it said 45%. Now, remember what effective means we talked about before. It doesn't mean you don't get the virus. Exactly right. That's what I remember.
How do they track that?
Let's see. Let's bring it up.
Because they did confirm early on in the season, they said that the strain that was active this year was not the strain, was not anything that the flu vaccine directly was linked on, like, to. You know, it was not the strain. Like, some years, the strain of flu that everyone gets is the strain that's in the vaccine. This year, it was not. But, similar to last year, you had the flu vaccine, Ella had the flu vaccine, we all got it. You guys maybe had your flu like a day or two shorter than mine, because I didn't end up getting the flu vaccine last year. And I think you guys rebounded faster.
Yeah, that's in, let's see what they say. It says, in the new report, researchers from the CDC estimated that the flu shot's effectiveness in more than 4,000 U.S. children and adults who visited the doctor for respiratory illnesses between October 23rd, 2019, and January 25th, 2020. Overall, the vaccine was 45% effective, meaning it reduced the risk of a doctor visit for the flu, by 45%, the report found. The vaccine worked even better in children, reducing the risk of a doctor's visit for the flu by 55%. I don't know how they're basing their numbers.
You know, if you don't even go to the doctor, then how do you know if it's the flu? Because you have to get it identified by them. I don't understand that.
They say it was working better than last year's flu shot.
It says
this year's season shot may be working well because of types of flu viruses that are circulating.
See, that's the opposite of what I heard. Like, legit opposite. Really, what this all kind of says is that definitely worry about the enemy that you know when it comes to...
The enemy that's a little closer to home.
Yeah, the one that you have kind of the facts on, and if you are stressed about it, then probably for a reason. Yeah. Like, everybody's catching it. It's going to knock you down. Hopefully you're not one of the people that end up in the hospital or worse, but it's definitely something that I think is way more relevant. And even though media aren't covering it in the mass volume that they are coronavirus, like, it's not because coronavirus is any more of a threat. It's because coronavirus is new.
Right.
It's kind of like the hot new popular kid on the block. So Everybody wants to talk about him.
And, scientists are taking it very seriously because there's not a lot known about it. Just because, like you said, it's so new.
It's new.
And that's what makes it really scary. But, you know, right now it's contained. It's kind of geographically contained, even though we do have some spots popping up. But when we're talking about the epicenter of the main virus, it's contained to mainland China right now. So
yeah. So this is, if we were going to rate this as like a, you know, is this media kind of sensationalization happening, or is this actually real truth in numbers? It's kind of a mix of both.
Right.
It's sensationalized because everybody is talking about it and how terrifying it is and how everybody's at risk. But the truth is, it's only a small percentage of the actual global population. And most of us have some pretty darn nasty viruses we're already dealing with.
Right.
The sort of truth part of the media covering all of this, it's new, it's freaky, it's super contagious for people who are in those hot zones.
Right.
So don't maybe like roll your eyes or, you know, just blame everybody else for every time you hear it. We're probably going to hear this for quite a bit until scientists figure it out. And then it will be sort of yesterday's hot virus.
Right.
Like Ebola. Uh-huh. Remember when Ebola was everywhere?
That, Ebola, swine flu.
Swine flu,
yeah. You know, the swine flu was in 2009. I was just reading one of these articles, talks about how it was much more.
What about the bird flu?
Yeah. Bird flu, swine flu, they were talking about how it, I think they said something about it killed almost 500,000 people worldwide.
That's crazy.
You know, so it's like I said, it's something to be concerned about, but right now here in the United States, it is probably the least of our concerns as far as viruses go.
Yeah. So that was just something we felt like it was time to just get into the real data and find out what was going on with all of this. We're still going to see this.
Right.
I'm definitely looking at all different aspects of this story in the near future, but hopefully this makes you a little bit more comfortable if you are sitting in your US-based house with no relation to anybody going over to China. If you do, I am sorry. It is scary. It is new. Yep. And I would be freaking out if I knew people there too. So,
We know this podcast is worldwide. So, anybody who's in close association with that area, you know, just do your due diligence, wash your hands, clean your services. to your best of your ability, you know, if you can, you know, if they have the masks that can prevent the spread of the respiratory, you know, viruses, try to wear them. And
I think everybody's hoping that those smart little scientists do pull something together and address this.
Mm-hmm. All right. You got anything else for them this week?
Oh, I don't think so. Yep. I feel like I'm still riding the exhaustion wave and talking about flus and viruses now. Just want to curl up in bed.
That's right.
With a cup of tea.
Mm-hmm. And some Lysol.
And a whole lot of antibacterial.
That's right. This has been another edition of the Addicted to Fitness podcast, and we'll check you next time.
Bye.
For all things Addicted to Fitness, you can check out our website, addictedtofitnesspodcast.com. You can also give us a follow on Twitter, @TheATFPodcast. And like and follow the Addicted to Fitness podcast Facebook page. Last but not least, please give us a rating and review in the iTunes store. Thanks.
Ooh.
Bless you.